It's time to get way down low, below top secret.
Wait a minute.
Current events,
sports,
art, entertainment,
food,
topics, automotive topics, relationship. It's all here now from belowtopsecret.com. This is the BTS Mix.
And happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, and Merry Christmas to everyone. This is the BTS Mix Show. I'm your host, Spencer Tracy.
And I am your other host, Doc Hancock. And don't forget the Kwanzaa, my friend. It's Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa. Happy Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm not trying to put down Kwanzaa or anything, but it's like, what? Yeah, okay. I don't have a hat for that, so.
Kiss me, I'm Kwanzaa.
That's right. I can find a yarmulke somewhere, and I'm sure that I've got a Santa hat somewhere, but nah, I don't have a Kwanzaa hat, so, yeah, I'm not doing that one. Yeah. Hey, but anyway, happy holidays if you are celebrating. Yeah, just want to be friendly with everybody. How you doing, Doc?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Spencer?
I'm doing fine, doing fine. Big change in the weather around the country. We had a little cold front come through yesterday, and it's coming through again, it feels like, right now, so we dropped from 56 this morning down to about 35 of the wind chill factor down in the 20s, so it's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas.
Yes, and I think we're getting the exact reverse effect. It's been, you know, low 20s around here, and we've had like 50 mile an hour winds. It's been crazy. And then now we are going back up to 61 degrees tomorrow, so
wow.
That should be interesting.
Freaky. Hey, some great movies coming out this weekend, Doc. Of course, a lot of things on DVD. Horton Hears a Who comes out. If you haven't seen that one's great. And the new Batman. I should say the one that came out this summer, The Dark Knight's out on DVD.
It most certainly is, and that'll be good. Look good on the old Blu-ray player there, and you know, fantastic when it came out, and that'll be a to-own movie this summer or this summer. Wow, long day apparently. A to-own movie this Christmas,
and of course, movies hitting the theaters this weekend. The big one that I can't wait to see, and if I can find a spare minute sometime within my jam-packed weekend, I'm gonna go see this new remake of How the Earth. Or The Day the Earth Stood Still with Keanu Reeves, and of course one of the most beautiful women I think that I've ever seen in Hollywood, and I'm trying to remember what her name is. Good gosh, she was in in the first Hulk movie, and then she was in A Beautiful Mind. Jennifer Connelly. Oh yes, Jennifer Connelly.
Oh yeah, Jennifer Connelly. Yeah, you know, she's phenomenal and a great actress, just a very very talented actress too.
She can act. Oh. Never mind.
What? Act? What? Huh? I don't get it. What? Act? Huh? What?
All right. Well, yeah. I guess it's about time we start the BTS Mix Show number 37.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Hanukkah.
Ho, ho, ho. I'm all about Kwanzaa.
Now back to the BTS Mix with Spencer and Doc.
Yes, siri, Buffsky, and you know, this has become kind of a viral internet hit here across the old intranets, the tubes that carry information from place to place. And this, of course, is what I'm speaking of, is in our breaking general news section, and was posted by Deaf Alien. And most of you may have heard of this already, but it's certainly worth mentioning. There's I'll just read the news article. Footage from a traffic camera overlooking a busy freeway in Santiago, Chile, captured a dog performing a heroic act, pulling an injured friend from oncoming traffic. The video from Azteca America, Colorado, shows an injured dog lying in the middle of a freeway after being hit by a car, while a rescue dog dodges traffic to run to its aid. The rescue dog then drags the severely injured canine across lanes of traffic as cars swerve around it. And man, just when you think chivalry might be dead, the animals remind us that it's good to care for your neighbor.
Wow. And you know what? That was just such a hard thing to watch. I mean, I hate to see any animal, you know, get hit by a car. It's just awful. But then to see these other ones just, you know, you would think people would pay more attention on the roads anyway, that you would not be following so close that you keep running over this thing. And I don't think, you know, it's his little friend dog made it. But I was amazed to watch this animal just grab that other dog and just start dragging it to safety. It was the most amazing thing I think I've ever seen, Doc.
Well, and it just shows, you know, that you know, pure courage is pure courage. And, you know, that dog wasn't thinking about anything other than the other dog at that moment. And it's just, you know, kind of beautiful to watch. I mean, it's always sad when that stuff happens. And, you know, but it just kind of reminds you that, you know, there might be a greater something around us. And that's kind of a nice, reassuring feeling.
You bet. All right. Well, we're going to jump off this thread and jump into a cabin. Yes, it's time to revisit in the General Chit Chat Forum. Welcome to Access Denied's cabin. And Doc, you know, we've had kind of one of those weeks. It's just been crazy, and it seems like, you know, with the economy news and political news and everything else, we just can't get a break. So it's time to just get away for a while and head to Access Denied's cabin.
Yeah, and you know, it certainly it's a state of mind, really. Access Denied's cabin has become a state of mind, and a fantastic state of mind at that, because when you think cabin, you think, you know, beautiful seclusion and a big fireplace and a big old rug you can lay out on and s'mores and, you know, whatever your mind might conjure up. But it certainly takes you to a very relaxing place. And I think everybody can use a little bit of relaxation these days.
Oh, you bet. Rush said, I'm back. I seem to have developed severe insomnia this last week, so I'm stressed and tired. I need a good night's sleep, and this is a great place to get it. Not to mention that according to an ATS thread that I read today, there is a FEMA prison camp being set up about 20 minutes from my house. So I'm going to go hide out there for a while. Bless your heart. You know, that's a good place to be. And like you said, Doc, you know, the theater of the mind is sometimes a nice place. Go find your happy place, and your happy place just might be Access Denied's cabin.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that. A coworker of mine today was a little stressed out, and he said, I'm going to go take 5 minutes. And I said, all right, I'll see you in a bit. When he came back and he was telling me about these, I believe they're called barrier waves. And, you know, there's these, it's this specific, you know, apparently they're specific sonic waves that you can download on iTunes or whatever. And they send specific waves that trigger various sensations or various synapses in your brain to fire. And they can cause either focus or relaxation or, you know, whatever. And he said he's been using them and that they work tremendously. He came back just calm as a cucumber and said he fell asleep in 2 minutes last night when he put on the sleep one, and said he was more focused after he did the phone. He said it's really cool, and apparently you can download with them for free. So along with the BTS Mix Show that you're all downloading onto your iPods because it's so easy for you to do, you can get these waves that will apparently just, you know, make you chill out, relax, and focus a little bit.
Now, who was the Olympic swimmer that we had earlier this year, the big famous guy?
Oh, yeah.
He had some of those waves that stimulate your brain to do all kinds of things, whether that's compete in athletic events or even relax. And someone was saying that he had actually downloaded some of that stuff, and that's what he would listen to before he would compete. And I'm like going, wow, I got to get some of those. So I may have to find one of those areas, and while I'm finishing listening to all the podcasts on the above networks, then I'll go and relax my brain for a while. I think that would do us all some good.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you think about it, it's just little simple things. And I think we all have our ways of finding our happy place, our quiet place. And, you know, it's good to know that place, because sometimes you just need to go there. So,
oh, yeah. Breathe in the peace. Either that or good scotch. Yeah, either one of those.
I love scotch, scotchy scotch, scotch. And I love this next thread because I think it speaks to a plethora of things. And I think it was pretty well, I think it's pretty funny. The title of the thread is in the rant section, and it's called, Oh My God, Read This! !! And go into the post, and it says, Star and flag this! !! This is a general rant, as I am sick of seeing one thread titles full of !! You don't need more than one. Thread titles with Read This. 3. Oh My God is in the thread. 4. Or OMG, which is, of course, the abbreviation of Oh My God. And 4. People requesting their own threads to be starred and flagged just because they think it's important. And I think that that's a fantastic point. You know, I mean, obviously, we promote a podcast show, so it's very important that people star and flag. So we send out a friendly reminder. Because we obviously want to promote the show. And, of course, everybody wants to promote their threads. But believe me, if you come up with a good quality thread, you will not need to do any of those things, and you will get plenty of stars and plenty of flags and plenty of ATS or BTS points.
Lightchild is the original poster on this, and a little bit farther down, anti-government posts. If I'm honest, I do regularly get annoyed with users who say star and flag this and the exclamation mark one. I don't think it's that bad unless you use an unnecessary amount of them. 1 to 3, I think, is okay, but that's about it. The oh my G one, I don't think is necessary. And putting read this is okay as well, as I don't think it's actually genuinely important, since you're going to be, you know, by the way, you're going to be reading this anyway. You know, watch the video. I can see that. Hey, watch this video. That's not a bad thing. But anyway, anti-government, I kind of agree with you a little bit there.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't forget, oh my God, star and flag the BTS mix show, please.
Now let's jump over to the general chit-chat forum. Would you, could you kill a person?
Yeah, this is I think cuts to the ethical core of all of us, does it not?
It's, you know, it makes you think, and I've had handgun training and arms training, so I kind of understand where this question is coming from. This was originally posted by Anxiety Disorder. Huh, go figure. Would you, could you kill a person? And it's listed in the general chit-chat. It reads, some people end up in the position that they need to take a life to save their own, or to delete a person to save others. Some need to take a life due to a sworn duty or a cause they believe is important enough to kill others. But would you, could you do it? I was reading this on CNN, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name. Watched ordinary people become killers while imprisoned in a concentration camp in Bosnia. She saw prisoners beaten beyond recognition and watched camp guards force a Muslim prisoner to rape a Muslim woman in front of everyone. She was shocked to see people she knew running the camp. They acted as if they had never seen me before, she said. It was difficult for me to understand how people could turn into beasts overnight, and then posted a link, of course, to the CNN article. Sadly, I've witnessed normal people turn into a mob and just start to kill. And I'm betting most of you would kill under certain circumstances.
Well, you know, I mean, I think that is the ultimate question. We all possess the ability to kill someone. We all, you know, could pick up a club, a rock, a gun, a, you know, whatever, and kill someone. The question is, what would be that circumstance? What would be that moment? I mean, obviously, I think we all can say with some certainty that if we were in absolute, you know, fear of our lives and we were being attacked and had the potential to end that attack or save your own life by taking that of another, I think, given that, you know, extreme circumstance, sure. But, you know, there are a lot of other very, very fine gray lines that are difficult to conceive of. And, you know, I don't know that I can answer it honestly, because I just don't know. I don't know. I suppose in the right circumstance, if I saw someone hurting someone I loved, or someone hurting me, or, you know, then that's a whole different story. And I, you know, fortunately, I've never been in one of those situations. I pray for anyone that they never are in one of those situations. But, you know, these things do come up, and, you know, it you have to ask yourself, when do you cross that line?
Access Denied evidently has been in one of those situations and writes, I think this is one of those questions that could only be answered if you found yourself in a situation where you had to make that choice. I've been in such a situation, literally weapon in hand. I chose not to, despite my strong feelings to the contrary. It wasn't worth the consequences that would ensue to my life and my family's lives after the fact. That doesn't mean were I faced with another scenario, I wouldn't make a different choice. I made the correct one at the time. Personally, I'd rather beat the crap out of someone first. I think that that's perfectly okay when you defend other people, but there has to be a line, and there's some great courses that actually teach this. I know there's a course at Gunsight and a lot of other different firearms training courses that say, you know, there's different levels of threat. I mean, if someone just walks up to you and punches you in the face in the bar, you're not legally allowed to use lethal force on that person, which makes sense. Now, if you're in your home and someone breaks in, and you fear for your life or your family's life, yeah, well, sure, you can use lethal force if you choose to do so. You may want to say, hey, stop. This is what you want to do. You want to say, hey, stop what you're doing. Don't move. Put the weapon down. Get on the ground, and give them the choice to obey that command. But there's different levels of threat. I mean, you can go from a white threat, which is, you know, we're oblivious of what's going on around us, and then they constantly increase from like a yellow to an orange to a red, and then if they cross that line, go to what they call a black threat, which is if you cross this line,
or I like to refer to it as threat level midnight.
Yeah, pretty much. If you go past this line,
that sounds badass.
Yeah, and if you go past this line, I will use lethal force. But that is all made within the judgment of someone's mind. And it always helps to have training in those areas, and trying to make that judgment out of not being a trained person or putting yourself running through that kind of scenario. A lot of people do, and they just jump the gun and go immediately from white to black, and it's not warranted. Lethal force isn't warranted. But there's times, whether you fear for your family's life or your protection or whatever, and there's a weapon, you can see a weapon, you know that this person is probably going to kill you, that you are allowed to use lethal force. So there has to be some point in your mind where that line can't be crossed. But I would suggest everyone, because of the times that we live in and just the way things are kind of crazy, you never know what people are going to do. And then going back to what someone said earlier, you know, I can't believe that neighbors and friends pretended like they didn't know me. They were running the concentration camp. Well, if you look back over these years and these dictatorial regimes, let's look at the rise of Adolf Hitler. I mean, Adolf Hitler didn't seize power. He was voted in, and it people lost their minds. And you can kind of see how that would go. They think they're doing the right thing. They think they're you know, purging society of unwanted people. But you know what? Who says they're unwanted? Who says that you're the one that gets to make that choice? And I think, you know, there's so many areas that we could touch on here, and there's so many posts that people have put in here that it's definitely worth a read to check this out. This was originally posted by Anxiety Disorder. It's in the general chit-chat forum. Would you, could you kill a person?
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break to reflect on that, and we will be right back.
Hi, this is Spencer Tracy along with my partner Doc Hancock, and we're the hosts of the BTS Mix Show on BelowTopSecret.com, along with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous with the ATS Mix, and Martin Bain and Homer Fife with the Above Politics Show have all made it extremely easy to subscribe to all our shows. Each show thread now has two shortcuts where, when clicked, will take you to an area where you can either download the shows with iTunes or with our RSS feed. Remember, your subscription helps bring our intelligent community to the entire world. So come join us all. Deny ignorance with the ATS Mix Show with host Johnny Anonymous and Dave Rabbit. Deny apathy with the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Homer Fife. And deny boredom with the BTS Mix Show with me, Spencer Tracy, and my co-host, Doc Hancock. And would you please remember to star, flag, and dig the show you're listening to right now. Be part of the revolution. The Above Network, LLC.
Christmas!
Christmas! It's Christmas! Christmas!
Let's kick some Christmas butt! With Spencer and Doc, the BTS Mix Show.
Steal all the food, eat the little kids' cookies and stuff like that. I get jacked just talking about it. Don't you guys feel it?
Welcome back to the BTS Mix Show with your hosts, Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock.
And we forgot to mention this at the front of the show, Spencer, but we just recently did a show with the Above Top Secret boys and the Above Politics boys, Martin and Homer and Dave and Johnny, and it was the ATS Christmas party, which was a ton of fun, man. I had a really good time doing that show with all of them.
I did, too, and I'm surprised Dave didn't run out of beeps. And a lot of the stuff didn't actually make it into the show, which makes me think that Dave may actually post some more stuff, but I don't know.
Oh, the language. It was like a bunch of sailors sitting around talking. I had to cover my virgin ears.
Oh, I know. And Johnny, you think he would be so mild-mannered?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we were all in for a lovely surprise. No, it was great fun, and kudos to Dave and Johnny for putting that together. And you can, of course, check out the show in the podcast forum. And it's a good stuff. ATS Mix Forum, rather. Not the podcast forum. The ATS Mix Forum.
I bought a new Wii, and my favorite thing now is when my wife stays up late, I say, "Oh, did you stay up late playing with your Wii?" Which is like my favorite thing to say now to her.
And I hope the answer is never yes. That would just be weird. Well, you know, the Wii is a very, very fun gaming system, and of course, you know, everybody's got their gaming system of choice. I have an Xbox, and so does Carl Hungus. And for all of you Xbox owners out there, there's almost an inevitability if you purchased one around the time when they first came out. And the thread is titled in the video games forum by Carl Hungus. He says, "I finally got my first Red Ring of Death." And for those of you who own an Xbox, you're probably familiar with the term, as in the sad, horrible day when you go to turn on your Xbox thinking, "Oh, I'm going to watch a movie, or I'm going to play a video game, or I'm going to do whatever I do with my Xbox." Hopefully it stays within the realm of those two things, all of you naughty, naughty monkeys. But there is a situation that happens when you go to turn on your Xbox, and there's a red ring that happens, and your Xbox won't turn on. In which case, you have to call up Xbox. They send you a little coffin for it. Then you ship your little Xbox in its coffin back to the Xbox warehouse, or I don't know where the hell they go. And a couple weeks later, you get a refurbished one. It's your same Xbox. They probably just put in new fans or a new processor or whatever the hell they do with it. I'm not sure. And it works. I mean, I got to say, it was an easy process, but it was a pain in the butt. You know, you just have to, you got to ship it, you know, bring it back, blah, 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 blah. And anything you had on the memory, it's all lost. And anyways, whatever. So if you have that happen to you, it's very simple. Just call up Xbox. They'll take care of it. And, you know, it works. It's good stuff.
But don't take it apart first.
No. Xbox will not take it back if you've already messed with it.
I was in an electronics store one time, and I was bringing in, like, a car stereo or something, and it said, you know, it gave the hourly rates, and then it had a little line underneath it, add $50 if you tried to fix it yourself first. Same thing goes with your Xbox. They may not fix it. It may void the warranty. And if you have an older Xbox, it's always good to keep that out. Don't keep it locked in your TV cabinet or where it can't breathe. And it wouldn't be a bad idea. And they sell these now. They're inverter fans or something, but they snap onto the back of your Xbox and actually give your fans a boost to keep the system cool, because they overheat. They just do. When they rush the game to production, they went, oh, okay, it works. Yay. And you know, don't leave it on for an hour to see if it overheats. But that seems to be the main problem. You can't bang it around either. It's got a hard drive in it. Just as you wouldn't drop your laptop while it's on, it's probably not a good idea to kick your Xbox while you're playing video games. Same sort of thing. So evidently not a bad, you know, not a super hard process to get it fixed, but don't take it apart yourself first, and be gentle. Be gentle with it.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, mine broke. I called Xbox. They, you know, sent me a little box. It got there like 2 days later. I sent it off, and I got the thing in like a week. It was pretty easy. But, yeah, definitely don't open it up. You know, those fan things are cool. You got to remember those Xboxes. They're basically like four very powerful graphics processors, all encased in a very, very small area. And they work hard, you know, to bring us, you know, good home family entertainment. So be good to your Xbox. Be good to yourselves.
There you go. All right, let's jump over to the travel forum, where we sometimes wander, Doc. Did you ever ride a train?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, I ride a train to work every day home. I ride a train. Anytime I really go into the city, I ride a train, ride a lot of buses, you know. And those trains are fine. They're crowded. They're stinky. They're whatever. But, you know, you're on them for 15, 20 minutes, hopefully, and that's about it. You know, I picked this in particular because when I was in college here in the city, I lived in Indiana, and I would travel home to visit my family. And the first couple times I did it, I took the train out there. And from New York's Penn Station to Waterloo, Indiana, which is where I would take it, it was like 17 hours, because you have to go all the way north through New York State, then finally cut west, and you know there's probably 20 stops along the way or whatever. Those were the most, because I can't sleep on a train for whatever reason. I can sleep on a plane, I can sleep in a car, I can sleep anywhere else. I cannot sleep on a train, so it was just absolutely miserable. And granted, there was a smoking car, because this was oh god, about 10 years ago now, and you could still actually smoke on the train. So there was a smoking car, and we hung out in there, and that was okay. But you know, it's like 17 hours, my god. And then you get there and you're exhausted, you smell like train and everybody else who was riding on the train. And I guess the only real thing to do is just get a couple beers and just try and relax, you know. That's what I tried to do, but I still couldn't fall asleep. So, boo to the trains, boo to long-distance trains. Now, if I had, you know, gotten the $700 sleeper car or whatever, that would have been a lovely trip. That would have been just fine. I could have gotten a straight 8 hours of sleep. I could have laid out straight, you know, in a nice, quiet cabin. It would have been great, but no. Boo to trains. Boo, I tell you, boo.
You could have a party train. Party train. Or maybe a so train. That would have been sweet, too.
Yeah, man. I'd be totally all about that. Get a disco ball, some hoochie mamas, some dancing girls, you know, some hooch. Get some hooch up in there. Uh-oh. That would be great. You know, a good time.
Uh-oh. My dog, my Great Dane, just heard me say so. Did you hear any of that? Yeah. He's like, Soul Train? That sounds like Gravy Train. Yeah, well, I'll feed you in a minute. Hold on. Hold on, I got to go shut the door. He thinks it's time to feed. Here, hang on. I'll be right back. Jeez. It's not like a Chihuahua. You can ignore him. No, it's a Great Dane. It's like, I'm going to go crap on your bed. Nah. All right. So anyway, back to the thread. Sir Bikes a Lot is the original poster on this. I'm starting this thread because I love trains. I love riding trains. Well, actually, passenger trains. I especially love riding passenger trains on wet and rainy, cold days. Well, you'd love it up in like the northeast or maybe the northwest too. The longest train ride was in Canada. I left Vancouver and about 4 days later arrived in Toronto. Well, bless your heart, and even rode Amtrak. Neat. Now, here's something kind of interesting. If you like to see the leaves turn in, it's probably too late this time of the year to see it. But sometime in the fall, there in northeastern New Mexico, there's a little town called Chama, and they have an old coal-fired or wood-burning steam train that will take you, passenger cars, up through Chama, New Mexico, through the mountains, and you can watch the trees change color. And it's one of the most beautiful things you'll ever see on a train ride. It's beautiful. Another notable one, of course, is around Durango and Silverton in Colorado. They have a little train ride that runs through there, and that's also steam trains, just very cool. I like the old steam trains. The diesel ones, haul freight. Steam trains, very romantic, kind of nostalgic. Love those. So if you have something you'd like to post, maybe even some pictures of some of the train rides that you've taken, you can post them on this site. It is in the travel section. Did you ever ride a train?
Woo woo, party train. Woo woo, party train.
Yeah, I don't think that sounds as manly as you think it does.
Moving along into our next forum, a very good friend of ours here in the BTS Mix Show, Silent Shadow. And granted, he posted this back in November, so sorry, Silent Shadow, we're a little late to get onto this. But he said, I'm getting married in 1 week. Well, I thought I would let the ATS-BTS community know that I'm getting married in 1 week at the ripe old age of 24, both of us. Tuesday, the 18th of November, 2008. So again, sorry, we're a little late. So congratulations, Silent Shadow. And I'm checking the end of the thread right now. I was so excited when I saw it, I wanted to make sure to say something about it. Let me see the last comment made by Siegel. Bring them on. Glad everything went as you hoped for. I'm happy for you both. So it looks like matrimony was had. There was a great wedding between Silent Shadow and his lucky bride. And we wish you from the BTS a great congratulations and many happy years ahead of you.
Yay. And by the way, we were kind of wondering where he was because we haven't seen him in a while on the BTS screen test contest. Well, he's been busy getting married and getting funky with the new bride. Well, and taking a cruise, evidently. So, hey, Silent Shadow, congratulations from the BTS Mix Show. We wish you all the best and congratulations.
Absolutely congratulations. And if you're trying to cure the situation of marriage, perhaps you should try a drinking vinegar. Have you ever heard this one? Not to cure marriage, but as a tonic. This is posted in by Galliega, and this is in our health and wellness forum, which we rarely venture into, but I thought that this was kind of an interesting topic. Okay, this is no joke, he says. I was just wondering, is it dangerous drinking vinegar? I mean, sips, as if you drink too much, it'll make you shake and sort of burn, gets too sour. It's just I love drinking vinegar. Is there any danger in doing this? I ask mainly due to its acidity.
No.
Spencer, do you know anything about this?
You know, I think you always have to worry about something with your teeth. Acidic wise, but really vinegar is a great thing. Apple cider vinegar is a good thing too. You can use it for a plethora from everything from losing weight, cleaning out your systems. It's not a bad thing to drink. If you can deal with it, it's not bad. Of course, regular vinegar, you can use everything from cleaning out your coffee maker and the hoses and soap scum from your washing machine, to rust because it is acidic. Even, you can keep your garbage disposal clean and smelling fresh by pouring vinegar down there. I actually prefer to pour bleach, but you can use whatever you want. If you want to drink vinegar, I like the apple cider vinegar. That's not bad. And there actually are diets for apple cider vinegar, and it's good for you. It's not bad at all. So I mean, everything in moderation. I wouldn't take a drink like a whole big bottle of it, but you can drink small amounts of that, and that's actually really good for your system.
Well, good to know. Well, I'm going to hop on that train and go have me a big old heaping cup of vinegar, and we'll see y'all in a little bit.
It's the same dream night after night. I hear this beating, this rhythm. I'm wandering like an unfulfilled lost soul through this misty haze. but I keep following the sound. It seems like I walk forever. In the distance, I see something beautiful, magnificent. It seems so far away, yet so near that I can reach out and touch it. As I approach closer, I can see millions of people, all ages, races, religions, philosophies. People from around the world and from every nation on terrestrial Earth. They're moving in mass towards something mystical, magical, magnetic. As I follow them, all of a sudden they begin to create a path for me to walk through. I can see something massive on the horizon. As I get closer, I see a banner unfurling in the gentle wind. It says, "Welcome to the revolution." The crowd begins cheering and celebrating. I'm so overwhelmed by the experience that I wake, still hearing the beating of the heart. And then my dream becomes crystal clear. I have found my holy grail. My thirst is quenched. My lifelong quest finally achieved. I have found AboveTopSecret.com. And my beating heart joins theirs. I have become a member. Welcome to our revolution. AboveTopSecret.com.
Happy holidays from the BTS Mix Show.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, a
rinky-pinky-pinky. Folks, Merry Christmas.
I'd like to say Happy Hanukkah.
And welcome back, everybody, to the BTS Mix Show. I am one of your hosts, Doc Hancock, and of course, to my right here is the voluptuous Mr. Spencer Tracy. Spencer, this next thread that we're about to hop into, I said it during our break to you, and I'll reiterate it. You own this thread. Please, shove forth.
Oh, I shall. I'm slightly creeped out, but yes, I will. This is posted by Nastel Gick. Nastel Gick. That's how I'm going to pronounce your name. From Sicily. All right, here we go. Jokes, puns, and pranks. 20 ways you're going to die, according to ATS, and the forms in 172 words. All right, here we go. I thought this up a couple of minutes ago, and it may not be funny, but I'll try my best. I thought it was pretty good. Methods of death, according to ATS. Number one, aliens. Okay. Giant radioactive jumping spiders. Yeah, I thought you'd like that. Did you post that one, Doc? Because that sounds like you.
No, but it's like that spider that guy drew to try and pay off of his electric bill. Remember that? That was great. Now every time I hear of a spider, I think of that guy.
All right. Giant bears, microscopic nanobots, chemtrails, implosions of the universe. Okay, black holes, giant asteroids, man, bear, pig, Matrix, NSA, nuclear fallout, Antichrist, global warming, 2112, New World Order, cosmic destruction, tearing the fabric of time, death by alternative reality, see the movie Mist, and natural causes.
And I think that pretty much sums it up. I like how man, bear, pig got put in there. That's a nice touch.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, we have Humpty Wreck, who actually posted Soviets, oh, God, the devil, the FBI, CIA, DEA, CPS, etc., the Jews, Chupacabra, and any other number of chemtrails. Yes, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, according to ATS, there are, of course, many, many doom and gloom scenarios, and they're all fascinating, I think, in their own right. Even if they're, like, ultra ridiculous, they make tremendous pieces of fiction at the very least. And if there's anything to them, it's fun watching people make arguments for them and against them. And I have to admit, I kind of like, I like the bickering sometimes that ensues over, oh, not another one of these end of the world threads, blah, 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 blah. Well, it's a conspiracy site. That's the whole point of the site, is that you can have, you know, fun with some of these topics and go out and research them for yourself and do some reading. I mean, I think, you know, it's good to be skeptical, absolutely, but just to shut everything down, I think is, you know, a little interesting, but I do enjoy the bickering that ensues as a result of that. It's one of my hidden pleasures.
But here's one that's kind of got me puzzled, Doc, and I guess I'm going to have to head over to Dats to check this one out. It was posted by Rush. It says, in BTS, one word, Sally. Dats patrons know exactly who she/it is. And then someone posted right after that, Skeptic1 said, exactly. Sally is lethal. So I'm going to go have to check out and see what Sally is.
Interesting. Yes, that'll be our little Easter egg. That'll be a mission for all of you listening to the show right now. Please write in on our show thread and let us know what Sally is for inquiring minds who would like to know. And I actually made a mistake, Spencer. I thought we were coming in on a different thread, and I skipped one ahead.
No.
And I now...
Actually, you didn't. You did fine. You did fine. I screwed up, and I actually highlighted the wrong one and jumped to the 20 ways to die. But here, I'm going to put 21, because I think this thread is great and will play into that very well. It's called For All the Dads of Teenage Girls Here.
Yeah, and I'll just preface this thread, and then I'll let Spencer loose on it. This is the thread that I was referring to that he owns, because, of course, Spencer is a dad and has a teenage daughter, so I think this thread speaks directly to him. I have no children. I have a 4-year-old Yorkshire Terrier, which does not count. So, for all the dads of teenage girls here, when one of my best friend's little girls was born, I happened upon these 10 rules, which I thought were perfect for any father with a teenage daughter. I know I will be using them when my wife and I have kids. 10 rules for dating my teenage daughter. Rule 1, if you pull into my driveway and honk, you'd better be delivering a package because you're sure not picking anything up. Rule 2. You do not touch my daughter in front of me. You may glance at her so long as you do not peer at anything below her neck. If you cannot keep your eyes or hands off of my daughter's body, I will remove them. Rule 3. I am aware that it is considered fashionable for boys of your age to wear their trousers so loosely that they appear to be falling off their hips. Please don't take this as an insult, but you and all of your friends are complete idiots. Still, I want to be fair and open-minded about this issue, so I promise this compromise. You may come to the door with your underwear showing and your pants 10 sizes too big, and I will not object. However, in order to ensure that your clothes do not, in fact, come off during the course of your date with my daughter, I will take my electric nail gun and fasten your trousers securely in place to your waist. This is rule 3 of rule 10, and I'll leave it there because I'm sure Spencer's got a few rules of his own that any teenage kids who are thinking about coming over to the Tracy household should think twice about.
Rule number 4. I'm sure you've been told that in today's world, sex without utilizing a barrier method of some kind can kill you. Well, let me elaborate. When it comes to sex, I'm the barrier, and I will kill you. Rule 5. It is usually understood that in order for us to get to know each other, we should talk about sports, politics, and other issues of the day. Please do not do this. The only information that I require from you is an indication of when you expect to have my daughter safely back at my house. And the only word I need from you on this subject is early. Rule number 6. I have no doubt you're a popular fellow with many opportunities to date other girls. This is fine with me, as long as it's okay with my daughter. Otherwise, once you have gone out with my little girl, you will continue to date no one but her until she is finished with you. If you make her cry, I'm going to make you cry. And if I sound like I'm emphasizing this, because I'm having this talk tonight. I am having this talk tonight. And I'll go into that in a minute. Rule number 7. As you stand in my front hallway waiting for my daughter to appear, and more than an hour goes by, don't sigh and fidget. If you want to be on time for the movie, you should not be here dating my daughter. She's putting on her makeup. That can take a long time. As long as painting the Golden Gate Bridge, instead of just standing there, why don't you do something useful like change the oil in my car or maybe wash it? Rule 8. The following places are not appropriate for a date with my daughter. Places where there are beds, sofas, or anything softer than a wooden stool. Places where there are no parents, policemen, or nuns within eyesight. Places where there is darkness. Places where there's dancing, holding hands, or happiness. Places where the ambient temperature is warm enough to induce my daughter to wear shorts, tank tops, midriff t-shirts, or anything other than overalls, a sweater, and a goose-down parka zipped up to her throat. Movies with a strong romantic or sexual theme are to be avoided. Movies which feature chainsaws are okay. Hockey games are okay. Old folks' homes are better. Rule 9. Do not lie to me. I may appear to be a pot-bellied, balding, middle-aged, dim-witted has-been, but on issues relating to my daughter, I am the all-knowing, merciless God of your universe. If I were to ask you where you are going and with whom, you have one chance to tell me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I have a shotgun, a shovel, and 5 acres behind the house. Do not trifle with me. And rule number 10. Be afraid. Be very afraid. It takes very little for me to mistake the sound of your car in the driveway for a chopper coming over a rice paddy in Hanoi. My Agent Orange starts acting up. The voices in my head frequently tell me to clean the guns as I wait for you to bring my daughter home. As soon as you pull in the driveway, you should exit your car with both hands in plain sight. Speak the perimeter password. Announce in a clear voice that you have brought my daughter home safely and early. Then return to your car. There is no need for you to come inside. The camouflage face in the window is mine.
So, Spencer, I can only assume through your emphatic emphasis that all of these rules make a great deal of sense to you.
I'm at the point right now with my daughter where there's a little bit of something going on, but it's like trying to hide it because this guy broke her heart, and he broke the rule. That was like rule number, let me see, rule number six. He broke rule number six right away. And she kind of still has this thing for him. And I'm like, drop the loser, honey. You're gorgeous. You don't have to put up with this crap. But instead, there's this kind of a sneaky little thing going on, and he hasn't come in here yet. He hasn't come in and said his intention. So one of these days, and it will probably be today, we're going to be having a little talk about what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. I'm just telling you, that's kind of where I'm at, and I'm a little on edge. Every dad on the planet can understand this. Obviously, quarterback sneak 000 did, otherwise he wouldn't have posted this. Oh, but I love it. Thank you so much. I'm actually printing this out, and I'm going to hand him a copy of the rules tonight.
You know, I think they should invent something for this very thing, like call them nut shockers or something. And basically, it would just be a mild electrical charge that would travel through the testicles of whoever's taking your daughter out. And just every, it would work via remote control. And just every 10, 15 minutes or so, just a little bzz, bzz, bzz. You know, just as a reminder.
Just want to take the edge off.
Exactly.
Yeah, just want to take the edge off for you.
And what great entertainment would that be for you sitting at home? You wouldn't get any, like, you know, visuals on it or anything, but it would just be great fun knowing that at the push of a button, like, there's just a mild, and I don't, you know, I don't want to, look, I understand, you know, never kick another man in the jewels, but, man, just a mild electrical charge. Something very, 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 very small, but I think that could be very effective. I'm going to invent that and market it.
Yeah, the only problem is you got to hold them down to put it on. Yeah. Yeah, would you mind slipping this on before you go on the date? Thank you very much. Like a little chastity belt for you. You know, and my daughter gets freaked out because she goes, Dad, you just don't understand. No, honey. No. No, see, I'm a guy. I do understand. I understand more than you could possibly know.
And that's why dads go crazy over this, because when you were 16, you were that little twerp that, you know, some guy was like, you stay away from my daughter.
And you know what? I had a lot of respect for that guy and still do. Now that I'm a dad, I have even more respect for him. So, yeah, well, hey, by the way, the Great Dane's got to eat sometime. Yeah. How about some fresh meat tonight? All right, enough of this one. Let's jump over to the next thread, Doc.
Yeah, this is great. This is a post some of the dumbest names you've ever heard here. And this comes in our people thread, actually. And this is posted up by a member by the name of Mozzie. M-O-Z-Z-Y, post some of the dumbest names you've ever heard here. I know you've all heard some pretty stupid names. Well, now's the time to show them off. Poo Pouch, which I believe is Vietnamese. Shantaqua, no clue. Sharon Cox. These are the top names that I've come across. Post all of your favorite. I'd like to meet the Sharon Cox person.
Oh, maybe you wouldn't. You might have to have shots after that. Okay. Of course, Wing Z put Engelbert Humperdinck. I would have to say, yeah, that's probably one of the weirdest names. Sugar J, I love this one. The dumbest name I ever heard was a woman in the labor room. My sister-in-law was actually doing OBGYN rotation. The mother in labor thought the terminology the doctor used was beautiful and named her baby girl the same thing, meconium, which happens to be the infant's first bowel movement. That's nice. Thank you. And then Sugar J post, these aren't dumb, but when I worked for a bank, they were my customers. Real names, Charlie Carr owned a gas station. Hyman Fingerman was an OBGYN. And Albert Fish owned a pet shop, which I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. I have a hard time buying Hyman Fingerman, but that's another story. A good friend of mine in college always, he said if he had a daughter, he would name named them jaundice because he thought it was a lovely sounding word. And he's like, you know, so long as you don't have the context of it, it's really kind of a nice sounding thing. And I was like, well, yeah, but it's all about context. It's like you could maybe argue that like anus would make a great name, you know, without the context. Unfortunately, you know, it describes people's beeholes. But yeah, there are some real doozy of names out there. You know, there's the Eileen Dovers and the Haywood Jablomies and, you know.
Oh, gosh.
Lots of good stuff.
That's funny. Okay, so what is the weirdest name that you ever heard, Doc?
Oh, let's see here. That's a really good question. There are some crazy names out there. I would have to say I used to work in a ski shop, and one of our customers, you know, when we would make custom boots for them, we'd obviously get their names and tag up their boots so they could come pick them up. And this woman's name was Brownie Brown. And I thought to myself, what kind of idiot parents would sit there and go, well, let's see, our last name is Brown. What would be a suitable name for our first name for our daughter? And then come up with the Brownie. Like, oh, what she won't get crapped on for the rest of her life because of that. Like, come on, like, be nice to your children.
Yeah, don't do that. I would probably say the worst name that I ever heard, and it's always stuck with me, and the guy is still alive. And you might know him. You can actually do a Google search on this guy. He was a NASCAR driver. And his name? Dick Trickle.
Oh, or Dick Butkus. That's a rough one, too.
Actually, it's his birthday today.
Yo!
It's his birthday today.
Hey, Dick Butkus.
Yo-ho! And he's still bigger than me, so I'm not making fun of him. Thanks, Doc.
You were just Googling Dick Trickle, weren't you?
Not unless I had an infection, thank you. And it's now time for the BTS Mix Screen Test.
You know, and I am just looking right now. Do we have an answer for our last screen test there?
Yes, Access Denied got the answer correct. And last week's, it was a tough one. I'd actually pulled an audio clip out of the movie Collateral, and I had to give a couple of clues. The first one was Cabby. The second one was Cabby on Cruise Control. And then, of course, the answer for last week's screen test question was Collateral with Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, that was a tough one, man, and worth every single point that we offered on that. So congratulations. Well done, man, because I had no idea, and sometimes I think I know, but I don't. So that was a good one, Spencer. Much kudos to you, sir.
All right. Well, it's your turn this week. You got a good one?
I hope so. We'll make this one worth 5,000, a nice round even 5,000 points. And this week's BTS Mixed Screen Test goes a little something like this. You might want to keep your eyes wide open when this actress walks into a room, as she is far and away one of the most beautiful actresses in Hollywood. You can count all the hours all you want, but it will still be cold on that mountain. But she will keep you warm. Who is this actress? And it could be worth 5,000 BTS points.
Before we wrap up the show, we want to remind you one more time to check out the Christmas Party edition of the ATS, BTS, and Above Politics show. That was a lot of fun. Also, don't forget, at the end of this thread, the end of this particular post where the podcast is, you can subscribe through iTunes, the RSS feed.
And just a couple other plugs. Of course, the Jim Mars book is out. Please buy that. Make a great stocking stuffer. And another shameless plug for our guys over at ATS, and I'm really, really excited about the show, and I can't wait to take a listen to it when it comes out. They're interviewing Peter Schiff, who is renowned now for obviously calling this massive economic crisis, and he has a very bleak outlook, and people are continuing to laugh at him even though he continues to be absolutely right. And I'm very excited to hear what the boys over at the ATS Mix have to ask him. And of course, our guys over at the Above Politics show doing a fantastic job in this time of political transition on an international level. So please check out Martin and Homer, and they're doing a phenomenal job over there. So good work, boys, and keep up the good work.
And until next time, that does it for this 37th edition of the BTS Mix Show. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. Be good to one another.
You've been listening to the BTS Mix. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of BTS Mix, please visit the website belowtopsecret.com. The views expressed on BTS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the above network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and continue to deny boredom by logging on to belowtopsecret.com.